Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
We're back with the third episode of the All Grit Podcast. It is your adequate host, Caleb Vanuel, here with the boys, Clay, Oli, Adrian, Labra. How you doing, fellas?
It feels nice to be on a victory Monday. Feels good, boys. We're back.
Back on track.
We are so back.
Clay, we're going to get you a microphone for episode 4, I promise.
Sounds good.
If I have to go down to Goodwill and, you know, wire up a USB, I will make sure that we're mic'd up episode 4.
Sounds good.
All right, with us today as well, what do you call them? They're not special guests, are they, Adrian? They're more like an extended family to the pod. So
Brothers.
With us this evening is two of the original All Grit podcast. When we went to the Detroit Lions practice this summer?
Training camp.
We had these guys with us today. So joining us is Ivan Labra and David Plaxco. How you boys doing today?
Doing great.
Doing great. As if a weight has been lifted. Happy to be here also.
The weight's lifted. Well, let's get right into it then. I want to know your guys' thoughts on game 3. We are what do you think? Ivan, you start us off. Welcome to the pod. First drive. What do you think?
First drive was dominant. That's how the Lions should be playing. Every possession. What I've been saying this whole season. So that drive reminded me of the Rams overtime when they played against the Rams. Mm-hmm. Like the line was very dominant. It was beautiful. The perfect person to give the ball, Montgomery, as they should. What else? First half was great. Second half for offense was a little iffy. Still a little more question marks or just chemistry that needed to build. But it was great to see. I love the trick plays. Love some of the
We're going to get into all that.
Some decisions that was made. Some decisions I'm still not questioning Ben Johnson, but like.
I definitely think he listened to the podcast last week. You know, we told him to run the ball. Clayton was saying, run the freaking ball. And that's what he scripted for the very first drive. It looked beautiful. He must have been listening, man.
You know what, Adrian, I couldn't agree with you more. I wrote down in my notes, literally, the whole first half was under the theme.
We're back.
First was under the theme O-line / Monty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the O-line just – did you compare this week's rushing attack to last week's? And you could drive semis through the holes that they made this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if their defensive line is just – you know, that much lesser than Tampa Bay? What do you think? Or was it just O-line just dominating?
O-line dominated, for sure. I think they were just mad from last week. I think they left a lot of things on the table, and they just came out. They didn't leave anything out. They just came down and just set the tone. It was a tone-setting drive, that opening drive.
kind of stats do you have, David? I know that you were talking stats a little pregame. What kind of rushing stats did you pull up?
Yeah, I mean, similar sentiments has already been mentioned. It's obvious that the run game was crucial. Not inside the building all week, but I got to imagine coaches saying, you know, someone has to pay for last week. You know, someone has to pay. They didn't play their best ball. There was a lot of maybe head scratches on play calling, but it was pretty evident from the start. Ben Johnson, heavy dose in Montgomery, 23 rushes. Gibbs had 16 himself. But yeah, so, and you know, he dipped back into his bag. You know, we got the one play we'll talk about here shortly, but really, I think the star of the show is defense. Even in the second half when things kind of got dormant, there was never really a time where I felt as if we're in trouble. Cardinals 1 for 9 on third downs. You know, amazing. they made some plays, but when it came down to it, they're getting them off the field. And I think field position was a huge, huge factor as well in the special teams.
That's an amazing stat. 1 out of 9, especially we were dropping like flies, whether it was defensive line, whether it was safety, because I think, didn't he go into concussion protocol again, Branch or something?
That was at the end of the game.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were, and like David said, I wasn't really scared. The only thing that they were doing is kind of throwing up, not a Hail Mary, but just deep balls. And if they would have connected with one or two of those, it would have changed the game completely. But he was off on those deep balls. He was 4 yards off every time, or getting picked off in the end zone. So 1 out of 9, you got to be very happy with that.
Yeah, for sure.
With the injuries too, it didn't let we didn't lose the momentum. That's always scary when you just have minute breaks every seemed like every play was an injury, but the momentum we didn't lose it. We just
I don't know.
How many times did you think Terrion Arnold was done for sure? Like five times?
Like twice for sure. I was like, okay.
It just seemed like every drive he was, like, it looked clear that he was done, but he kept battling back. Hopefully he's, you know, good for next week. But, yeah, he was an animal as well.
Yeah, I've heard both sides, but I thought Terrion Arnold played great. Like, considering he's a rookie, his third game. I know he's gotten the PI calls, you know, he gets a PI call in the first drive, but I'd rather him get a PI call than being someone like Cameron Sutton last year where he's not even there. You know what I mean? Like, he's two states away from his guy.
Yeah.
Like, at least Arnold's got hands on this dude. You know what I mean? Like,
every time I see this guy, I'm comparing Jeff Okuda, you know, because they kind of line up on their wide receiver the same way, which I hate. I hate seeing Terrion Arnold put two arms down. He looks like Jeff Okuda, but yet, he's there. Jeff Okuda was 15 yards off of his receiver every time the ball got thrown to a wide receiver. So it's good to see. You just, like Clay said last week, it's not college. It's the NFL. They're a little more less with the handsy in the NFL, so they're going to call it.
Yeah,
they're going to pick on him too, being a rookie. So, but that's just more, I think it's more practice for him. But they're definitely picking on him for a little bit, especially after that PI call. But
yeah, they're testing him.
So if I were to ask you boys a question, I did a little stat here. I want to see what your thought is. We'll go around in a circle here. Without looking at further stats, what do you guys think? Yard per carry. Don't look down. Yard per carry between Gibbs and Monty.
I think Ivan. Go ahead, Ivan.
Monty probably 6 yards. Gibbs would probably be like 4 or 5.
All right, Ivan or Adrian?
Yeah, I'd say average was around like 5.5 for both because we had almost 180 yards.
Okay,
rushing.
Who out of those two? Who's got more though?
Monty had the most.
Yeah. Okay, Clay.
Monty had the most.
I think Gibbs had more. To be honest with you, 4 yards per carry. It seemed like, I don't know, but it's like around that 4 or 5 for each of them.
Okay, Dave.
I think Gibbs probably had more per carry. You know, he had 7 less touches, still had 83 yards. Seemed like he was
the math.
Yeah, it seems like he was darn near 7-8 yards a carry at times. But Montgomery definitely did the dirty work.
Right. So this stat kind of blew my mind. So you guys are circling all around it. Monty, 4.6 yards per carry, which you'd think, wow, I mean, he was busting off 11 yarders and 13 yarders, but he had more carries. So Gibbs, 5.2. So Gibbs had more, 5.2 yards per carry. But still, if you're averaging anything over what, 3.5 or 4, I mean, that's considered a good rushing attack, and we're at 4.6 and 5.2. So, I mean, you could run all day long with those numbers.
When you're constantly at second and seven and second and six, that's your playbook's open.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Except we were at second and five and second and,
Right. So for sure.
Even that much better. Yeah.
The thing about Montgomery is he only falls forward no matter whether he's hit behind, you know, getting first contact, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. Even if he's got two, three guys on him, he somehow manages to fall forward for positive yardage every time.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about that play then. Monty, what was that play?
Where he's levitating in the air for 10 yards.
When he floated.
Have you seen that meme of Simba like being carried, you know, like Rafiki in the back? That was Monty. Dude. So, I mean, I think he got carried. He said he got carried about 3 or 4 yards in the air.
I swear, like where it started to like where they put the ball, it was like 8 yards, dude. For real.
That's the team, man. That's the team having your back, man. St. Brown. That's
awesome.
St. Brown jumped in there. He started pushing. It's just, that's just, I think that's when you're just like, we have a good football team, man. Like, that's that grit coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. So I do have one thing that we kind of talked pregame a little bit about, but how are y'all feeling with Bates and the use of Bates, our kicker? So we know that he missed an extra point, first one of the year, first miss of the year entirely. Thoughts on him?
Yeah, it has the leg eventually. I know the fourth downs, like Dan Campbell gets emotional, but eventually you're gonna have to start test that leg. But that extra point was ugly. That boy was gone.
Yeah, he's developmental, man. They're investing in him. They're giving him the opportunities he needs, and he's getting them. But, you know, it was like the fourth quarter where we were like 4th and 2 or 4th and 1, and it was kickable.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell chose to go for it to try to run the clock out instead of going up by 13. Two scores. Or is that two possessions or whatever?
It would have been 13, so yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a 51-yarder from what I recollect. Right. And you got to, I mean, sorry, you got to go. You got to put three. I mean, I was listening to sports radio all day today, and they were like, Dan, you got to add more points to the board.
Yeah.
Because that's when you get to the playoffs, you got to be ready for those moments. You're battle tested. Those
points.
Yeah. I wonder if that missed kick swayed his decision at that point. I wonder.
But I feel like those extra points are one off. So I'm glad it happened early.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been shown to be a trend yet. Not yet. I don't think that would.
But at the same time, I think this coaching staff has more. Don't they have more? What's the word I'm looking for? They're more comfortable with him kicking a 51 than they are a 25. I mean, we all know that he's almost missed more extra points than he has 45 plus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't understand. You know.
Yeah.
He plays aggressive, and then right there it's kind of, well, some would say conservative, but aggressive to go for on 4th and inches, but I don't know. I think you take the points there and extend the lead.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got, Ivan?
Anything from the game?
Yeah.
Are we still saying the first half?
Oh no, we're open.
Okay. The whole thing?
You want to go to the second half?
We haven't even talked about hooking a ladder yet, right?
We haven't talked about that, but that was a pretty cool play. One thing I didn't want. So second, I think second half, the same thing with the inconsistency of offense. So like when the defense would stop it and we would have the ball, I don't know, there were some plays where it was the opposing defense could understand, like they knew what we were doing, which it was totally noticeable. Seeing some of the players shift and also with that interception, I think it was in the third quarter or fourth quarter that the linebacker got on Goff. I don't know.
Well, here's a question along with that, Ivan, that came to me in the on our poll here in the chat. This comes from Abraham Onares. Even though Goff had a good game on paper, does it feel like he was still struggling? What do you think?
I don't think he's hit. Yeah. I don't think he's hit. He hasn't hit Goff from last year yet, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, we don't still have the same Goff from last year. It's weird. He's like...
First half, he was 100%, dude. 12 for 12.
He was. But that could happen when he just, for some reason... Just he's not that himself anymore. I don't know what it is. Weird.
Him and JMO gonna get on the same. Back. Same.
No. I don't want Stafford back. But I think he just seems to be in his mojo. Like he has so many weapons with him, like take advantage. And also with being Ben should know that as well. So like change not doing so many trick plays, but make it easier for him to have better not better options, but you know. It was perfect because when this game, Laporta was more active in the last two games. Like, that's what I like to see.
They were listening again to last week.
More tight end action.
I mean, you think he was more active, but I heard that he only caught, like, two balls.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that hard to believe? I mean, that's more active than what he was in Tampa. I mean.
It's true, but it was more effective.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Those two catches were more effective.
I think they were both for a first down. Maybe that's
how about how about Brock Wright being tight end one last
yeah.
night?
Yeah, exactly. He filled right in when
and he might have to keep going because Laporta might have a little ankle sprain.
Yep.
I've heard people saying, you know, save him for the December, January, and let him rest for 3 to 4 weeks. So we'll see if Brock Wright needs to step up.
I think Brock's more than adequate. He's obviously not quite the same level, but his pass blocking doesn't make, you know, he's strong. You know, it seems like he makes a tough catch every game. You know, I like where we're at with Brock Wright if he needs to be number one for a second.
I agree. Got a question from Gilladome. Mark Gilladome. What's up with all the tight ends this year? Did the NFL forget about that position? So since we're talking about that,
like I mean, NFL wide?
Yeah.
Yeah, my fantasy teams ain't getting much from my tight ends. It's like boom.
Anybody
or
who drafted Kelsey number one out of the receivers is regretting it. Hashtag Nick.
Yeah, I mean it's happening league wide with just teams not scoring as much. I didn't listen too much into it, but just defenses running more cover two to keep stuff in front of them. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on just kind of low-scoring games this year.
Personally, I like it. I like a little defense. I don't need it to be 40, 50 points a game, but I have noticed that it seems like across the board there hasn't really been a whole lot of teams just really blowing people out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with Kelsey in particular, it seems like he's doubled and tripled just about every play. They're just not going to let that happen for him. I'm sure he'll, you know, things will open up for him as the season goes on. But it's kind of been more of a defensive laden season so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got another question here, boys. All right. This might be a little comical, but we're going to go with it. From Lisa Graham 1, do you wish you were still in the Silverdome?
No.
Oh, look at all those faces. Heck no, bro.
I say no.
Are you guys old enough to have been there, though? I have been there.
I have not.
I went one time. I was very young.
Yeah.
I think it has a little bit of nostalgia. Similar to, like, maybe similar to Joe Louis Arena.
Mm-hmm.
But Ford Field's pretty nice. And it's probably the most, got to be top three most rocking stadiums in the league right now.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. I think if the Silver Dome was more associated with winning more, then maybe we'd miss it more, but no.
We got breaking news, boys. Just hopped on my phone here. Breaking news in the middle of the pod. Go ahead,
good or break bad.
It. No, it's just an injury. So, ERM report. Pro Bowl and All-Pro center Frank Ragnow suffered in a partially torn pec, making him a week to week. So, a brutal reality for one of the NFL's toughest players who injured is it's very early in the game, but the belief that it's not season ending. So it's not season ending. He can be back very soon. So probably, let's say, like 3/4 of the way of the season, he might be back.
All right. So he's out on Monday because then we have the bye week.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, 2 weeks for Dallas. So we're sliding Glasgow to center. That's why we have him. Who's our left guard? Iwasaki?
Iwasaki.
Who's our backup left guard? Who do you guys think?
Kobe Sorsdahl. Does he play guard or tackle?
He's more tackle.
More of a tackle now?
Yeah.
Skipper. Yeah. Skipper's. He's had a couple snaps there.
Skipper could play guard.
Yeah.
He's tall. He's very tall. Mm-hmm. He usually plays tackle.
Right.
That's
not good. I mean, those pec injuries, similar to hamstrings, you know, it's easy to aggravate. Hopefully, yeah, like you said, maybe we can get by without him Monday and then give him a little extra rest. But I mean, he's gonna fight through whatever he can. He's an animal, but yeah, that's not good news.
You know, that would explain a little bit why he did let a couple pressures get off yesterday.
I was upset with him on that sack right down the middle. It was like in the third, fourth quarter that killed the drive.
Yep.
He let the guy just run right past him. And the end of the drive, I think it was in the third quarter, but that would explain it.
Look at that. Breaking news. We're breaking news here on the All Grit podcast. Mr. Ivan on Twittersphere. Let's go. All right, let's get to our last segment of the pod here. We got two questions to ask both of you, or actually all of you. It's no longer both of you. So it's our segment, who fumbled the ball and who gets the game ball. So it's, like I said, you might have to think about who fumbled the ball because not a lot of horrible plays out there. But if one pops up into your head, go ahead, boys, take it. Who fumbled the ball for you in yesterday's game?
I got one.
There's times our O-line played great, obviously, with the rushing, but penalties, man, these false starts are so annoying. Like, so many times you'd be second and seven, second and six, and all of a sudden you're looking at second and 11, second and 12.
Mm-hmm.
That was yours too, Adrian?
You read my mind, dude. My notes, like, Graham Glasgow, Decker, and Sewell all got false start penalties yesterday. That was very annoying. Because like you're saying, it was like 3rd and 2. Now it became 3rd and 7. Didn't get it, killed the drive.
Yep.
So got to clean that up. And granted, it was the first road game, you know, not as good with the noise. Like this is your first game with all the noise on offense. But yeah, that's who fumbled the ball for me.
All right, good. We'll write her down. Dave and Ive, you got any thoughts on that? I do have one, but like I said, it's pinching pennies here.
Yeah, I think you guys pretty much covered it. Just mental mistakes is about the only negative I can take away. Schematically and everything else, I think everything is pretty strong, even on individual level. But penalties definitely hurt there at times.
Definitely better than last week for sure. Well, here I go. Let's throw Bates in there for a fumble. Let's just say if that game had to come down to a point, right? Because we saw that happen. Who was it this past Sunday that missed? Was it the Giants? Their kicker got hurt or whatever and missed 3 field goals. They scored 3 touchdowns but missed all 3 extra points, didn't they? Am I making that up? That sounds familiar. But they ended up losing because of not having an accurate kicker. So I'm just thinking if Bates... You know, I love the guy so far. I love him. But I am nervous every time he comes up there. Even when Prater was up there, you guys, when Prater lined up, were you nervous? I nope, wasn't.
He was kicking it in.
I knew Prater was kicking that straight down.
I missed him. Yeah, they were automatic. He had those neon cleats.
Yeah. And he's the only kicker that's still like sniffing salts on the field and throwing that stuff on the grass.
Yeah, dude. OG.
All right. Who's your game ball? Let's start with Adrian. No, Ivan, go ahead, take it.
Aaron Glenn. Like straight up.
Defense.
Aaron Glenn. AG. Like the whole defense looked great. Like it did suck with the injuries, but like everyone stepped up if somebody had to, you know, get out. So, you know, Barnes was leaving, like who else? Branch. When those accumulated, like they didn't, like no one did any mistakes. Or they just, when their number was called up, they showed up.
Yeah.
Basically. Agreed. Adrian, same thought?
Same thing, defense, but I'll go, just to be different, I'll go Kirby Joseph. You know, this safety gets his second pick of the year. We got another interception. And not only that, he was all over the place. It was that fourth down, like fourth down and six that Arizona had towards the end of the fourth quarter to keep their drive alive. And he had that pass breakup. So he did an outstanding job tackling just all over the field, keeping that grit, keeping that attitude through the end of the game to save us. Great job to the defense. Like Kyler Murray had a perfect passer rating last week. People don't understand. He was feeling hot. This offense dropped a 40 burger on the Rams last week, and our defense kept them to just one touchdown. So hats off to the defense. It's crazy that we're leaning on them now.
And remember, we held him also to 43 or 46 rushing yards.
And most of that was on the first drive.
Yeah. And if you think that was only on like four or five attempts, because his first two attempts went for like almost 40 yards. So, I mean, we kind of shut him down, which is a huge Aaron Glenn step up in the right direction, because as you boys know, running quarterbacks have been our Achilles heel the last couple of years, AKA Justin Fields in Chicago. But I digress. Clay, what you got for us? Game ball.
I like the defense too. I want to be different in a second, but to add to the defense was that fourth down stop that got challenged by Dan Campbell. That was such a stud stop. But I do want to be different. I'm going to say Jack Fox.
The punt god.
Solid pick.
Good pick. Yeah, great pick.
Yeah, five punts, four inside the 20, and I think three of those were actually inside the 10.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going back and forth in that fourth quarter, third and fourth quarter. I mean, he just every time, man.
People are scared of him throwing the ball too. Like I was noticing their special teams, they were kind of waiting to make sure nothing happened. So then that lets our gunners get to the ball.
Yeah.
For that inside 10.
Yep. Well, when you put on tape that you throw from your own 10-yard line on a fake punt, then that will make the special teams tend to lay off of the...
Eat up a little bit.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, who's left? Dave?
Yeah.
You got a game ball?
A lot of different ways you could go. I hate to say it. I wouldn't say it's a vanilla pick, but, I mean, I think Montgomery. Montgomery had the game this week that I think we all expected of him last week. 23 rushing attempts. You don't really see that many rushing attempts from running backs in the league these days. And, you know, 105 gritty yards. Nothing easy, but, I think the offense and the defense, feeds off him at times. So I'll let Demo get this one this week.
There you go. I like it. So mine kind of agrees with that one a little bit. So can I do two game balls, but you'll understand what I mean when I say that. So last week I threw Ben Johnson under the bus and I said, Ben, you were so predictable. You were pass, run.
He was hurt by what you said, bro.
And so he heard the pod. He did say, I heard the pod and I'm going to run it back. So I said, can you at least throw in like a hook and ladder and just like, try to just throw off the defense at one time. And sure enough, Mr. Ben Johnson throws in a hook and ladder. So game ball to him for going back to Dave's original comments. The dude is just getting back to what he knows he's good at. Don't overthink it. Mm-hmm. You know your clientele. You know your team. Just go for it.
Yeah.
And last but not least, the guy who single-handedly closed out the game, Vanilla Vic. And you will hear that name from time to time as the podcast goes on. Mr. Vanilla Vic. Do you know who I'm talking about? None other than Jared Goff. The white Vanilla Vic. That dude runs.
He's got they wheels. Couldn't
stop him. They couldn't stop him, boys.
I'm sorry. Did play he look, too. He looked faster than he did the last couple of years. Did you notice?
He looks speed? Like Vic. I couldn't tell the difference. And then he slid. He's like, I don't need more yards. I already got the first down. Let's go home.
He slid because I was yelling down. Slide. I think that's why he slid.
There you go. Vanilla Vic game ball. All right. We're going to close out the pod. This is our first pod that's going to go on our – go ahead, Adrian. You close us out with a couple shout-outs too.
All right. Well, real quick, I do have some questions left. I got to show this question because two people asked it on my chat. Kevin Rodriguez and Robbie Armswood from New Jersey. Thoughts on the pick six called back and the two-minute warning incident? Just quick hitters. What did you guys think?
We got lucky.
That's the new Lions, man.
We got away with that.
Really?
That's counted.
I thought it was totally fair. Like I swear it was right on the money how the refs said it. Like it was close, but the refs executed it bad. But you could see the offensive line gave up.
Yeah, it's just one of those. Standing. Yeah, they did. It's just one of those plays that years ago when the whistle was blown, it screwed the Lions.
Tides are turning. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Refs blew the whistle and tried to protect Jared Goff. And I think, but it's like one of those things, like Caleb said, does that air feels like that would have went the other way 5 years ago?
It's always tough with slow-mo too. I mean, slow-mo makes things so obvious, live to bang, bang play. Plus, they had the call in the field.
Yeah.
That always plays a factor. But I mean, when you slow it down, it looks like, we might have got away.
But yeah. That's true. Years before, that would have been against the Lions.
100%.
14-point swing, too. I think we got 7 on that drive, so that's a 14-point swing.
That was a hook and ladder. Yes, sir. They were so mad about the call that, let's run the hook and ladder.
That's when I touched Ben.
Nice. All right, quick shout-out to Armando. He requested us to talk about his boys, the Cowboys. He's a Dallas fan. And how atrocious their defense is. And I told him that we'll see him week 6.
Good answer.
Right. Good answer.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
In Dallas, Jerry World. All right. Real quick, a word from who? Our sponsor.
Potential sponsor.
Oh, potential sponsor. Guys, this podcast is getting legit. Auto Obsessed Detailing. If you live in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area and need your vehicle detailed, look no further than Auto Obsessed. You can reach out to them on Instagram or Kevin Rodriguez directly. Now, if you want to be part of the All Great Podcast family by sponsoring your business, please contact any of the hosts for more information.
There you go. Maybe if we get that in writing, get a little contract wrote up, we can actually afford for Clay to have a microphone for the podcast next week. Do you think we could do that?
Like $20 on Amazon. So yeah, anybody, please donate to Clayton.
Yeah.
GoFundMe, whatever it takes. Ooh, start from the bottom, boys.
Let's open a GoFundMe, the All Great GoFundMe. We'll get Ivan an actual Lions shirt so he doesn't have to wear a blankie.
What?
Is that the same blanket from the practice facility that we went to?
Sure is.
I think he brought it in the car because he was cold in the front of the car.
Because he was asleep the entire day.
I was asleep.
You were. We dropped Clay off, and you were asleep before that dude got in his car. Good time.
Little did we know it was the beginning of something special.
The beginning of the podcast.
All grit,
baby. All right. Well, that'll do us for episode 3. We'll probably name this. What do you guys want to call this podcast? Label it. Because last week it was Hutchinson Arrives, something like that. We'll see. You'll see when you open.
Then back to the basics.
Back to the basics.
Desert, man. Deserts, we have a rough history in the desert.
I like that. Something with the desert. Something,
yeah.
Something playing on the desert.
The basics in the desert. Let's go. All right, we're signing off. This is the All Grit Podcast. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Thanks.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.